they called me that weird herbal needle vet. And I just remember thinking, well, I'm still going to do it because I know it works and I've got the research to back it.
Acupuncture has become pretty much accepted in both human and veterinary medicine over the past few years. And a number of vets are embracing acupuncture as part of their day-to-day practice. We talked to veterinarian Dr. Jessie Dreyfus from the Healing Paws Centre in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
You are listening to the Vet Podcast, presented by veterinarian Dr. Brian Greger from New Zealand. Join us as we discuss pet health issues from around the world.
Hi, my name is Dr. Jessica Dreyfus. I run a holistic practice here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I went to undergraduate at Duke University, and then I continued for veterinary school at NC State University. A bit of a nerd, so I kept going. I did a rotating specialty internship at Coral Springs Animal Hospital. I then pursued my certificate in acupuncture, certificate in physical rehabilitation, as well as a certificate in food therapy. And at this point in time, I'm currently running my practice, as well as online courses at holisticveterinaryinstitute.com. So a lot of holistic medicine in my life.
To be an acupuncturist, a veterinary acupuncturist, do you have to be a veterinarian first?
Here in the U.S., it's recommended. Technically, it differs by state laws. Some states will say you just need direct supervision. Some will require that you have the acupuncture certification and that you are a veterinarian. It really just depends. I definitely, personally, see my own human acupuncturist. And I would never go see a vet acupuncturist. It kind of doesn't make sense to me, just because I know that they're very well trained in human anatomy, not pet anatomy, and I would expect the reverse. I would personally never practice on a human. That would scare the bejesus out of me. No.
So I think that's probably a fairly crucial point there, I guess, Jesse, where you actually do need to have knowledge of physiology and anatomy and medicine and the whole lot.
Yes, so you need extensive training, and in my opinion, just so that everybody's safe. And I do think it contributes to the fact that the treatments, I feel, are very effective because you know the anatomy.
I've had acupuncture myself, and sometimes it hurts. It's painful. Maybe I'm just a soft male, I don't know. How do animals react to it?
So, honestly, I'm a very honest person. It depends on the pet. I would say 95% of the pets I see fall asleep, right? And then I don't, you know, I really just do calming or sedation points, and especially my cats. Cats are so sensitive to acupuncture. I need one or two points, and then they just kind of just nod off. And I think, all right, great, now we're going to do the rest of the points. I do have, you know, that other 3% where I'm like, ooh, you're a fire dog, or in traditional Chinese medicine, a high energy dog. I'm like, you got to have some treats. Here's some treats. Don't look. Nothing's happening. Brrr, put the needles in. And then the last percentage of dogs, I think, is a little hypersensitive, and I have to be very, very quick. And sometimes I wonder if it is a pain sensation or the fact that they're very, very stubborn, and I'm asking them to hold still while I place needles in you, and then hold still more so that the needles can stay there and sit. And they don't appreciate that. They don't like being told what to do.
Do you have to tranquilize at all?
No. Oh, my gosh. No. I don't tranquilize any of my kids. I call my patients kids. No, I've never had to.
Do some species react better than others to acupuncture clinically?
Yes. Dr. Shea at the Qi Institute at University of Florida talked about a really good study. I'm blanking on who did it. And it showed that horses and cows actually respond exceptionally well to acupuncture, and they kind of went species by species on which was just like amazing improvement with minimal amounts of treatments and needles. But I do hear from colleagues that birds respond remarkably well, and you don't need to do a lot of points with them either.
Having acupuncture in the past, I've noticed that there are different types of acupuncture. Could you just go through the different types of acupuncture that you can do?
Oh, sure. So dry needling is, you know, when you see pictures of people calmly relaxing, closing their eyes, and there's just needles on them, that's dry needling, right? And then most of the kids, I start off with dry needles, And then after I know they're comfortable with that, I do a stronger sort of stimulation called electroacupuncture. And it sounds scary, but it's really not. I basically put the needles in and then I hook them up with wires that run very specific frequencies that are known to release great neurotransmitters just on those frequencies. Or I can change the settings for muscle stimulation. And on top of that, then there's another type called aqua acupuncture, which I absolutely love, where you can inject saline or vitamin B12 into acupuncture points so that when the patient leaves, it's still stimulating that point. And then if you want to get real, real fancy, there's moxibustion, where you can actually light dried mugwort and heat the needles, because the needles are made of metal. Just, it's a warming sensation. It feels great. I love it. And then if you want to get more complicated, there's pneumopuncture, which is just taking general air and inserting the air underneath the skin for animals. And I'm not sure you can do this in people because the skin's different, but it's really, really, really good for if there's nerve loss or blockage.
Just thinking back when I've worked with acupuncturists in the past, they've also used, I think it was gold. Is it injecting the little bits of gold into an area?
Yes, I totally forgot about that. Good point. So there's gold bead implantation. So I was exposed to that at one course I took at the Qi, but I've never actually done it. You need sedation, anesthesia. Definitely, I would prefer anesthesia because you are taking basically either pure gold or metal wrapped in gold and inserting it into the acupuncture point in the animal. It never comes out. It stays there for life. You always have to tell the owner, you know, tell your veterinarian if they're using metal, like, guess what, MRI, it's out, things like that, and let them know it's not buckshot, you paid to have it there. But yes, that's another form.
So what kind of conditions can you treat with acupuncture? I mean, the classic, and again, it's my old sporting injuries, my motorbike injuries, and rugby, which is our national sport here, injuries. Acupuncture was sort of one of the go-tos from the physios. I have used it before for urinary incontinence in dogs, and it has worked amazingly. What kind of spectra do you use acupuncture on?
I would say almost everything. So I see a very high volume of cases that are either neuromuscular, orthopedic, or neurologic. And I'd say they all do really, really well. I've had one or two, I'll be honest, one or two that didn't respond as well. And I honestly think that's because we just didn't have the right test to diagnose them. I think they had a rare neuromuscular disease that we just don't have the test for yet. But I also see a lot of cases for everything from internal medicine, like my kidney disease kids, all the way up to seizures.
Are you using acupuncture in conjunction, or can acupuncture be used in conjunction with conventional medicine?
Absolutely. So I'm of the mindset that integrative medicine is the future of veterinary medicine. I love combining Eastern and Western together. I think there's a place for both. And so I always educate my owners that, look, here are the options I can provide you in Eastern medicine. There are Western options, so I want you to be aware of those, because I do feel that integrative medicine is the best.
Are there advantages of acupuncture over conventional medicine?
Well, one of the best ones I like are almost no side effects. And I can't say the same for a lot of Western medications, but I can say that for acupuncture. I'm not seeing the damage to the kidneys or the liver, like when I was a general practitioner and saw the value spike when I prescribed a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. You don't see that with acupuncture. And that's incredibly powerful for me. You're putting a needle in, you're causing the body to heal itself, and you're not getting a negative side effect.
I have to say that thinking back a few years ago, I had a few cases where there would be an old German Shepherd or something basically hobble its way into the clinic with really bad hip dysplasia or blown cruciate ligaments, CCLs or ACLs, and they've come in for euthanasia. And the acupuncturist has sort of tapped them on the shoulder and said, okay, can we try this? And they've done the acupuncture, and, you know, we've got another year and a half, 2 years, good life out of those animals. So, and these are animals that have been on non-steroidals, they've been on, you know, some of the proprietary products, they've been on the cartrophony joint rehabilitation treatments, which is sort of just another little sideline there. How do you go at using acupuncture with some of these things like the omega fatty acids and green muscle extracts and those sort of things? They work quite well together.
They do. So I absolutely love creating a full supplement and food therapy plan in addition to acupuncture and herbal therapy. I think that we're kind of, at least in the U.S., we're trained to basically, oh, it hurts, you're going to reach for this drug off the counter. And we don't kind of stop and say, you know, what other alternatives are there? The NIH released a great report that a wonderful alternative to opioids is acupuncture. But that's not the first thing we reach for. I kind of feel so great when I hear from my owners that, you know, I can really tell when I miss a dose of Adequan, the concentrated and injectable supplement that you recommended for my dog. And I can really tell when I run out of their omega-3 fatty acids. That was really bad of me, Dr. Jesse. I shouldn't have done that. And I kind of say, you're right, because when I tackle pain, I do it in multiple modes, right? I'm not just going to reach for this one thing that works this pathway that we know about. Let's try and tackle pain from every different angle, especially with the avenues that don't cause side effects. So the glucosamine, the green muscle, all that fun stuff.
How was acupuncture taken by the mainstream veterinary profession?
I'm not going to lie, that's a great question. I have great stories for that. So when I first started my practice, I was mobile, right? And so I would ask surrounding veterinarians if they would want me to come in and acupuncture pets, or I would go straight to the house. And, that was a good 4 or 5 years ago. And yeah, I guess I can only speak from the perspective of this area, but I got laughed at pretty badly. And they called me that weird herbal needle vet. And I just remember thinking, well, I'm still going to do it because I know it works and I've got the research to back it. And it's okay. Like, you can call me the woo doctor because I know that I'm going to help your patient. And that's okay with me. One day you're going to see that. And slowly but surely, I started getting phone calls and referrals, and it felt so good to hear from that veterinarian saying, wow, they were going to euthanize. I figured you could kind of just give it a shot and see how it went. And if not, you know, they're coming back for euthanasia. And inside I was like, oh my God, I got to not mess this up. This got to work. And outside I was like, yes, it is going to work. I am very excited to see your pet. It's going to be great.
So you think things are getting better now? You're getting more referrals?
I think that it's more acceptable in mainstream. I think that there's more studies being published. It's just amazing. I'm very into reading and literature, and so I constantly am seeing different articles in different veterinary magazines that are talking about herbal therapy. They're talking about CBD. They're talking about acupuncture. Whereas 5 years ago, they were not, absolutely not. Most of the studies I looked at were from outside of the U.S. And it seems to be more widely accepted. Almost all holistic medicine seems to be much more widely accepted outside the U.S. versus inside the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, from the New Zealand perspective, which is where we're based, the New Zealand Veterinary Association has actually got a holistic veterinary branch. So I'm not sure how many members are in it, but it's incorporated in the entire New Zealand Veterinary Association. If somebody takes their cripply arthritic old Labrador into their vet and they want acupuncture, how do they go about getting it? Do they go to the internet and, you know, check for veterinary acupuncturists in my area, or do they need to go through their veterinarian? Is there a pathway that is normally done?
Well, I know for me, it's kind of whoever finds me and calls. So it's really important to me in my practice where, you know, I know that you have a primary veterinarian that you've been working with for a long time. That's great. And I'm going to reach out to them and I'm going to let them know that we're doing these therapies and make sure to update them and send them videos. And they're going to take care of the Western medicine side and I'm going to take care of the Eastern medicine side. So anyone is able to come to me, and anyone who touches Fluffy or Fido, I want a really good team to be aware of that. And I want to be on the same team as their veterinarian. It's a joint effort, and it's good to have a lot of specialists on any case And that's why I always reach out.
And I would imagine that it would be very, very handy to actually have the case notes from the primary veterinarian, which will let you know what the diagnosis is, what treatments have been done, what surgery has been done, what the response to the treatment was, and even what the expectations of the owner are.
Oh, absolutely. So the x-rays, I'm always recommending x-rays. So, you know, even if it's an older kid and this is kind of a quote-unquote last-ditch effort, I'll still say, look, it's a good idea to get x-rays. Why? Because we're going to have a baseline, right? We're going to know how your dog looked at this time, this date, from the bone view, just in case something happens in the future. And also, I want to do no harm. You know, if there is something like bone cancer and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing, guess what? This is a relatively inexpensive way for us to find out. And it's never wrong to do more diagnostic tests.
If you would like to find more about Dr. Jessie Dravis's practice and acupuncture, I asked her if it's possible to get in contact with her.
Yeah, it's very simple, I think. So you can easily head over to any of our social media platforms and shoot us a message, or you can even head over to our website, which is www.healingpawsfl.com, and send us an email. That tends to be the quickest way to do it. You can also call us at 954-955-8888. All those are great pathways to get in contact.
I have also added a link to Jessie's website on ours, which you may recall is vetpodcast.weebly.com. During the interview, reference was made to Jessie's holistic medicine approach to veterinary medicine. I am catching up with Jessie in a few weeks, so if you have anything you would like me to ask her about holistic medicine or acupuncture, search Vet Podcast, or one word, Vet Podcast, on your social media and message me. You could contact me through our website, which again is vetpodcast.weebly.com, or email me at vetpodcast@gmail.com. Keep safe, everybody.
To find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, just search at Vet Podcast and like us while you are there. Subscribe to us on your usual podcast player, and if you enjoyed the podcast, please rate us on your player and share us with your friends. Our website is vetpodcast.weebly.com. Weebly is weebly. Or email vetpodcast@gmail.com.